I don't intend to really preach out of the second reading today, but it occurs to me to say something to you about it. There is a line here at the end of the reading talking about the state of the human person in the presence of God in heaven. And it says, what we shall later become, namely in heaven, has not yet been revealed. But we know this, when it is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Now, what it occurs to me to say to you is that that means, and I have it on the best of authority, that they are singing a Motown song in heaven. Just one look, that's all it took. Just one look. Stick to preaching, preacher, all right. Around the throne, they're singing, just one look into the face of God. That's all it took. And that look will purify, will purge, and make us reflect God's glory perfectly. Saint Catherine of Siena had a vision where the Lord Jesus spoke to her. And he said to Catherine, if you were to see one soul in heaven with me, you'd fall on your knees because you think you were looking at God. Do you understand our dignity? How we are to be transformed? St. Paul says, the Lord will take these lowly bodies of ours and transform them into copies of His own glorified body. Oh, just one look. That's all it took. Just one look. I want to talk to you today on Good Shepherd Sunday about our Good Shepherd. But I want to connect the Good Shepherd who is in heaven in His physical and glorified body to the Good Shepherd who is on earth in His mystical body, the church. Do you understand, church, that theologically and in reality, we are all members of the body of Christ? St. Paul, for example, wrote to the Corinthians, do you not know that individually you are members of the body of Christ? And so, if Christ is the Good Shepherd, we can't just point to Him in heaven and say, see how He's the Good Shepherd, but we also have to connect it to ourselves. Because the Lord still walks this earth. And you say, how does He still walk this earth? In you and in me. Christ has no hands now in this world but your hands. No voice but your voice. So today we celebrate the Good Shepherd, but we have to ask ourselves, what does that also mean for me, who is a member of the body of Christ, and who is ministering still as the Good Shepherd, but now, not just in some magical way, you know, sprinkling dust on the earth and somehow magically, but really in a much more practical way, right through us. I want to look at the Good Shepherd, therefore. Let's look at Jesus. In humility, I'd also ask you to look at me, who has the title pastor. Do you know what the word pastor means? It means shepherd. That's what it means. It's just a Latin word. Pastor is just a Latin word for shepherd. And we brought it into English, but pastor means shepherd. I am to be your shepherd. Now, Jesus is your shepherd, but pray that He's working through me. He's talking to you right now. If I get out of the way. And you, as members of His body, you are also shepherds. Many of you, if not most of you, are parents, grandparents. Maybe you're an aunt or an uncle. Maybe you're a brother or a sister, a family member. Perhaps you're a leader in the community. Perhaps you're a supervisor or a leader at work or in some career field, known and recognized. You are pastors and shepherds. Often when I go to visit a family in their home, they'll often, when it comes time to sit down to meal, they'll say, "Well, Father, would you please offer the prayer?" And I often turn to the father of that house and I say, "No, you are the high priest in this house. You are the shepherd." And usually they still insist that I pray. But do you see what I'm saying? If you're a parent, you're a shepherd. I just happened to look over at the shepherd and had the name right there. Shepherds, all of us. All of us. Shepherds. So, three ways I want to look at it. I want to look at Jesus. I want to look at me as your shepherd. And I want to look at all of us. Now, let's get right to work. I first of all want you to notice in this gospel today that Jesus is the passionate shepherd. A passionate shepherd. Now, we tend to use the word passionate today in English to refer to someone who is on fire about something, or someone who, shall we say, is a little amorous. But what I'm using the word is in its original meaning. We get it from more recently in our language from the movie The Passion of the Christ. I'm pointing to the cross, church. The Passion. When I say that Jesus is a passionate shepherd, what I mean is what he says right here in the text. I am the good shepherd. Now the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He goes on later to say, I lay down my life for my sheep and I will take it up. I have the power to lay it down and I have the power to take it up again. But I freely lay down my life for my sheep. I will die for them. I will rise for them. Jesus is a passionate shepherd. I want to link what I just said to the psalm. In the psalm today, we are reminded that in the world in which we live, there are many people, movements, and things that try to claim our loyalty, who in a way want to shepherd us with their philosophies, with their ways. And not all these things are bad. I'm just saying, I want you to know, there are many contenders to be shepherds in your life. But I want to say this to you. Do not ever forget that only one shepherd gave his life for you. And that whatever those other shepherds are saying, just be careful. Some of them are saying evil things. Some of them are saying good things. But only one shepherd gave you his life. Only one shepherd died for you. And his name is Jesus. So that if anyone comes knocking at your door saying, join this organization, join up with me, follow me, just be careful that they're first following the shepherd, the good shepherd, Jesus, who is the only one who gave his life for you. Now, it says here, therefore, in the psalm, it says, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Again, church, there are movements, there are leaders, they all have good points and bad points. But please remember, trust in the Lord, let him be your shepherd. Do not ever follow any other shepherd that says anything different than Jesus, who is the only shepherd who died for you. Amen? Now, with that in mind, I want to now begin to apply this message of the passionate shepherd to me and to you. I am to be your shepherd. The bishop sent me, and I believe, a man of faith, that because the bishop sent me, the Lord sent me. I trust with all my heart that I am exactly where I need to be. And I hope that you will trust that whether you have a lot of personal life for me or not, that you have the shepherd right now that the Lord wants you to have. I want you to trust. But I'm going to ask you to pray for me, because I am asked to lay down my life for you. And just like anyone else, I struggle to do that. But I want to say this to you, that I love you. And I want to give my life in service for every one of you. Pray that I have the strength, because I must lay down my life for you. I must, and I will, and I do work long hours. I get up early, and I'm busy to the time I go to bed, which is pretty late. And I am working for you and for the Church of Washington. But pray that I have the strength to continue to offer my life in service and in sacrifice. Because I, like you, can struggle with selfishness, with wanting to run and avoid duties. Just pray. I am called to live a sacrificial life for you. And I love you, and I'm glad to be here. And I love to serve and to work hard for you. But just continue to pray that I have the stamina. Will you do that? And I will also say, because this question often comes up in the public media and on discussions offline, shall we say, about celibacy. And I just want to say a word of affirmation for celibacy. Because of celibacy, I am able more perfectly to lay down my life for you. I do not see myself as a bachelor. I have a bride. My bride is the church. You are my bride. And I will say that I have a beautiful bride. I have a wonderful bride. A demanding bride at times. But I love my bride. I am not a bachelor. I am not unmarried. The bishop gets to wear the ring because he has the whole diocese. But I really do wear a ring in my heart. You are my bride. And I want to serve you and love you. I can tell you this, as far as priests getting married, let me just give you some practical stuff real quick. I am busy from the time I get up to the time I go to bed. I do not have time to be a good husband and a good father. I have too much respect for those men in this congregation who are husbands and fathers to think that I could do all the things I'm doing now and also take care of all the things you're doing now. I'm telling you, we'd have to radically rethink the priesthood. All right, you want a married priest? Here it goes. Triple my salary. I need a private home. Don't make me live over the store. Now, I am pro-life. I don't believe in contraception. So I'm going to have me a big family. All those kids are going to need braces, health care. Are you praying with me? So a lot of times people say, well, we should let priests get married. It's a terrible thing that they can't get married. We should let them get married. Just stop for a minute and think of some of the practical stuff, would you? Now, also, not only should you triple my salary and provide health care for me, my wife, and my many, many children, 7, 8, 9, 10 kids, you know, not only should you do that, but don't expect me to be as available. I'm sorry, Sodality, can't come to the breakfast because my kid has a soccer game. Saturdays are off the books. Sorry, I'm going to be with my wife and kids that day. You know, see what I'm saying, right? My priority would have to be my wife and children. Now, I'm just asking you to say, I want you to know, I do have a bride. I do have a big family. And a lot of people that call me father. I am very happy to be a celibate man. I'm very happy. I'm very, very happy in this. And I am a very strong supporter of priestly celibacy. Because, brothers and sisters, I am to be a passionate shepherd for you. I am to be wholly devoted to you and to this diocese. I am to be wholly devoted to give you my life in sacrifice. And I ask you to pray for me. Give me the strength. And I promise you, I will work hard for you. I will lay down my life. And if that day ever were to come where I actually had to physically give my life to die for you, I promise you, I will do it. You see, that is what the Lord is calling me to do. Luckily, we live in a very free society where it doesn't look like, but I know priests in the world, some have been arrested and put in prison. Some have been killed. That is what we priests are called to do. To love you enough that we will give our lives away. Pray for me. Now, you are shepherds. You're a parent, a grandparent, a leader, a family member. You too are called to live a sacrificial life. Parents, work hard for your kids. Lay your life down for them. Today I'm afraid that sometimes, I'm not saying that's true of everybody here. In fact, I doubt it's true of almost anybody here. But there's some attitudes today that children are something that I squeeze into my schedule. Put them in daycare and take them out when I have time and we'll just sort of fit the kids in. No, your children, you are their shepherd. Give your life for your children, your grandchildren. Pray, work for them. Be wholly devoted to them. Our vocation is much more important than our career. Did you hear that? You see, what happens, though, is the world is very demanding, isn't it? And it says, come over here, overtime, work hard, go on all these business trips, be away, hardly know your wife and kids. And it's demanding all of your time. But your vocation as a husband, as a wife, as a father, as a mother is more important than any career that you could ever have. So again, sacrificial shepherding is what we're all called to. So brothers and sisters, please know, Jesus is a passionate shepherd. And He is our shepherd. But how will He shepherd? Not just in some magical way up in heaven, sort of moving us around like pawn pieces. The Lord is going to shepherd 9 times out of 10 through you and through me. He's going to lead our children, our grandchildren. He's going to lead our community through you, through me. That's how the Lord is going to shepherd. Be a passionate shepherd. Love the people that you're called to shepherd. And if you don't, get on your knees and say, Lord, I need a miracle. Help me to really love my children, not just tolerate them. Help me to really love my coworkers. Help me to love the members of my community that I'm leading. Whatever leadership will, just beg the Lord to help you to really love them. And that leads me then to the second point. Be a personal shepherd. Jesus says, I know my sheep. And they know me. I know them. Now, the Lord knows more about you than you know about yourself. In fact, really, our job when we pray isn't so much to tell God what to do, but to have God to tell us who we really are and what we really need to do. Let the Lord show you the man or the woman that He has made you to be. Let Him be your shepherd. Let Him show you why He made you. We all have ideas, some of which are correct and some of which are incorrect about ourselves. I'm meant to be this or that. Maybe, but did you pray? Did you ask God? Have you let God show you? I want to be thin. Well, I'm not. And that is not my body type. Now, there was a time when I was thin, but I was very young then. But I basically look like my father. And somewhere, I have to begin to get comfortable in my own skin. I want to avoid obesity and really being extremely overweight, but I'm going to be a little rotund for the rest of my life. Just going to be that way. Because I look just like my father. It's okay. Thank you, Lord. You made me to be me. Not to be the guy on TV who, by the way, pays $10,000 a week for some trainer to come out and buff him up. So again, you see what I'm saying, brothers and sisters. Get comfortable with the man or the woman that God is calling you to be. Now, here's then for your pastor another prayer I ask. I am called to know you, to love you. I ask you to be patient with me. I have a couple of traits that I think are helpful but can also be difficult. One trait I have is I have a terrible memory. Bad memory. But you ought to be grateful. You know, as a priest, a lot of people tell me things that I have no business remembering. Are you praying with me? I don't just mean in confession. But people come to me and tell me about this or that issue, and what I need to do as a priest is be with them in the moment, work with them, pray with them, perhaps help to solve the problem, give them some advice and encouragement. But I'm not supposed to retain all those struggles that you've had. That's really between you and God and yourself. I try to be helpful, but it's not a good idea for me to remember. 10 years ago, you were going through this, and you told me all that, and it's good for me not to remember those things. Are you praying? Can you imagine me up here in the pulpit? Let's see now. He's not talking to her, and she's doing this behind his back. And not a good idea for your pastor to know or to remember any such thing. But it also does make it difficult for me sometimes to remember everybody's name and all the different things that are going on. So I ask your prayers. I'm supposed to know you. It took me, I was 7 years at St. Thomas More, and by the end of that 7 years, I would say the basic core of that community, I knew. I had buried family members. I had done weddings, baptisms. I had really begun to know them very well. It takes time, but pray, because I'm called to know you, to love you. You see, so again, I ask your prayers for that. And I ask you also now as shepherds, be careful. It is very possible today for even the closest family members to barely know each other. We are so busy, church. Hello? We live in different cities. We're doing all kinds of different things. I don't want to ask for a show of hands, but I mean, really, how many people today even sit down for meals every day anymore? Running here, running there. It's kind of like the house is more like a dormitory, a place you come to sleep before you rush out the door early in the morning and come back late and rush here and rush there. Again, if you're a parent, know your children. Really know them. And be the type of a parent where they're not afraid to come to you and tell you some of their struggles. Now, I know there's some things your kids are never going to tell you. It's just often the way it is. But at least try to know what's really going on in your kids' life, in your grandchildren's life. I have to work very hard to stay in touch with my brothers who live off in distant cities. Call them every week, see how they're doing. So again, the Lord is asking us to really know each other. Now the final thing I want to say today, the final section of this homily, not only do we have a passionate shepherd and a very personal shepherd, but we have a persistent shepherd. It says here in the gospel, I have other sheep that do not yet belong to this fold. They also I must lead, and they also must hear my voice. Pay attention, church, because this kind of sets the tone for what we need to be about as a parish, well, permanently into the future, but particularly in the next year. We're going to take and really begin to focus on getting ready to do a major evangelization outreach. Not just by walking these streets, we're going to do that, but by beginning to intentionally focus on getting all of you, including me, ready to really evangelize and minister in our families. Because church, the Lord is saying, I have other sheep who do not yet belong to the fold, and they must hear my voice. Well, how are they going to hear his voice? Now, Saul got a special prize. He was knocked off his horse and looked up and saw Jesus and said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? But that was special. The way The sheep that do not yet belong to the fold are going to hear the shepherd's voice is through you and through me. We have got to be the Lord's voice. We've got to be His hands. We've got to be the ones who minister in His name. Church, and we've got to work at it. You don't have to get on a boat and go to China to find these people. They are at your dinner table. Come on, don't tell me they're not there. They are in your living room. They are down in your family room. They're at the other end of your contact list. You know them. You see them every day. There are other sheep, says the Lord, who have not yet heard my voice. And they need to hear. And how will they hear? Well, I better be doing my job up here. Amen, church? But I'm not at your dinner table. I'm not in your family room. You also have to be the voice of the shepherd. You also have to be the ones who will walk these streets. Now, church, persevere and persist. I'm saying He's the persistent shepherd. He's not satisfied to just have a few folks He's talking to who say, "You're my shepherd. Oh, great, now I have some followers. Now I'm done." No, He says, "There are other sheep. We've got to go get them. They've got to hear my voice." And the Lord's going to persevere. He's going to persist. And church, I want to just ask you to ponder something while I conclude. Aren't you glad that somebody didn't give up on you? Come on, pray with me, church. You're not here and I'm not here because you're so good. You're here because somebody prayed for you. You're here because somebody told you about the Lord. I'm not here because I'm so right. I'm here because somebody's praying for me. And somebody persevered. I think of my grandmother. I think of my mother praying for me. Praying day in and day out. I wouldn't be standing in this pulpit today if someone hadn't shepherded me rightly. If someone hadn't said to me, "Charles Pope, come and go with me to my father's house." And I said, "Do I have to?" "Yes, you do." If I hadn't had someone like my mother who just drug me to church, if I didn't have my grandmother praying for me, my mother praying for me, I would not be in this pulpit today. I don't know where I'd be, but I wouldn't be here today. And I'm telling my story, but can someone else say amen? Is there a witness in this house that you wouldn't be in that pew today if someone hadn't shepherded you rightly? If someone hadn't said to you, "I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to persevere. I'm going to keep calling you to Jesus." And I know, because I know all of us, we've all protested when people tried to do that. "Do I have to?" But someone hung in there with you. Church, I think of my father, and he wouldn't be ashamed for me to tell you what I'm about to tell you. He was away from the church for 30 years. And his mother, my grandmother, prayed. I could hear her say her rosary out loud. And she'd say, "Lord, I'm offering this decade for my son Charlie, that he'll come back to church." His name was Charles too. And she kept praying for Charlie, Praying, fumbling those beads, praying. And my mother prayed for him, for his return. And we kids prayed for our dad. Hallelujah, church. He came back to church after 30 years away. Church, it took 30 years. Did you hear that? 30 years. But my father got back to church, and my father never did anything in a small way. He got back and he started going to daily mass. And I think I told you this before. He started doing penitentiary. "I got a lot of sins to make up for." And I said, "Dad, you don't earn forgiveness." He said, "Son, you don't understand. I got to make up for some prayers I never said. I got to make up for some bad stuff I've done. So I've got to pray." And he went to church every day. Even when he was traveling, he'd look for a local church to get to Mass. He's prayed the Stations of the Cross every day. My father died as a penitent for all those years he was away. I'll tell you, when the prayers took, they stuck. You couldn't get my father out of God's house. So, I say to you, persevere, persist. There are sheep that have not heard the shepherd's voice, and you and I have got to walk these streets. We are going now, as a parish, to begin
a year-long process where we're going to do a lot of intensive training around the issue of evangelization. Some of you say, I tried, but I don't know how. They ask me questions that I can't answer. I want this parish to begin to be a place where you can come and learn how to evangelize more effectively. But in the end, you got to do it. It is not an option. It is not like, well, if you get time to evangelize, do it. The Lord gave us standing orders. The last thing He said before He left, He said, go and make disciples of all the nations. Church, that's us. And we can't overlook it. It is our mission. It is our primary task to bring souls to Jesus Christ so that He can be their shepherd. They will only hear His voice now, though, through your voice and mine. So pray and work with me in this year that goes on now. We're going to ramp up starting at Pentecost. We're going to really get busy, and we're going to start setting some things in motion to really focus on evangelization. Why? Because we've got a good shepherd, church, and that good shepherd wants us to join Him. We're members of His body, and so we have to be good shepherds. And somebody needs to walk these streets, and somebody needs to be at your family dinner table preaching and letting the shepherd's voice be heard. Church, I want to again testify and then I'm done. Somebody persevered for me. Somebody was a shepherd to me. That's why I'm here today. Somebody prayed for me. Somebody had me on her mind. Somebody took the time and prayed for me. Why? Because we got a shepherd who's passionate. We've got a shepherd who is personal. And we've got a shepherd who is persistent. And he has gotten some other shepherds to join him. That's us. I'm here today because somebody persisted and somebody prayed for me. Amen.